broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use. No doubt starts now. This, my fellow Americans, is the broadcast for September the 23rd in the year of our Lord 2019. This is hour one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law that I am, the Constitution for the United States of America. And ladies and gentlemen, we got a road to hoe when it comes to restoring the republic, but we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. Normally, we'd do the recap of Friday's broadcast, or I should say Saturday's show, but we were not live Saturday. I took a break, spent some time with family and loved ones, etc. We'll normally do the Friday recap, but man, we got some late breaking news to bring up first. So we'll do that. We'll give you a breakdown of the previous show soon. We got Scoop Stanton with us live from Washington, D.C. CNN had an article, says D.C. activists vow to shut down traffic in the nation's capital. Scoop Stanton live. They're doing what they vowed to do. Scoop, welcome.
Good morning, Sam, and good morning, listeners of Liberty Roundtable. Right now, Sam, several people of a protest group are blocking major thoroughfares in downtown Washington, D.C. to protest the fraud known as climate change, formerly known as global warming. These protesters want Congress to pass this awful Green New Deal, and they want to bring awareness to the fraud known as climate change. Some of the roads affected are New York Avenue at Interstate 395, which I travel frequently, which is a major thoroughfare, a major artery in D.C. Independence Avenue and 12th Street, which is location of many, many government agencies, government buildings. And also K Street at 16th Street, also a major thoroughfare for private businesses and lobbyist groups. Some of these protesters are pretty clever. One group put a boat in the middle of a traffic intersection, a sailboat, and they attached themselves to the sailboat. One clip on the local ABC affiliate showed somebody with a grinder trying to grind away at the trailer. I don't know how this individual got their arm stuck on this trailer, but they're trying to remove these people so they can put them in jail. Another thing, protesters put a van at another intersection, and they had protesters in it. And the Metropolitan Police Department, or the D.C. Police Department, just towed it away with the people inside. There's a clip on YouTube about it. For whatever reason, the people stayed inside the van, but at least MPD is trying to do something about it. Also, MPD has been very, very lackadaisical about it. They knew about this. They put it all over Twitter, the D.C. Homeland Security alerts. People get on the text saying that, stand by or stand by. But MPD has been giving these people three chances. Every 2 minutes they say, disperse or you shall be arrested. And again, people want to be arrested. Which is causing major headaches in downtown D.C. So as they're getting arrested, they're very peaceful. One gentleman is in a motorized wheelchair, so the Metropolitan Police Department has a hard time to figure out how they're going to transport this individual. Most of these people are white, between the age, I'd say, of 20 to 25 years old, very peaceful. Not a threat, but as they're protesting climate change, you have thousands and thousands of cars coming into the greater Washington, D.C. area, sitting in traffic, blowing carbon monoxide all over the area. So they're not doing a great...
Well, in my opinion on this, Scoop, is they have every right to peacefully assemble, every right to use their First Amendment rights to a protest, to have an opinion on something, to speak out on something. That's within their rights. But when it says that they shut down D.C., climate change protesters disrupt morning commute, I don't think they have any right to block the free flow of traffic. Just as they have the right to peacefully assemble and protest, I have every right to get to work.
You're absolutely 100% right. And there are plenty of places to protest. They have alerts everywhere. Protests at Freedom Plaza. There's protests at the in front of the White House every single day. But again, they're just standing in traffic, looking at their phones, tweeting, whatever, holding signs. And again, Metropolitan Police Department has been very lackadaisical. I know living in New York, New York City police will walk up to these protesters, say, you need to move or else, and they don't. And guess what? Else happens. So they get locked up really quickly. I know a supervisor for the police, the NYPD, grabbed a reporter who just, or some person with a camera who just would not move, and proceeded to escort him into the grill of a parked car.
Well, and I don't really want the cops to get violent, but I do think that what we need to do is restore law and order. The police are there to allow everyone to have rights, and we can peacefully coexist. But I don't think we ought to allow this type of disobedience in the sense, because it puts people in harm's way. It creates all kinds of other havoc and anger, and I think they need to get a handle on it sooner rather than later.
You're absolutely right. And then it's in New York, the protesters became violent, so you know, it is self-defense. But you're absolutely right, because people need to go to work. People have the right to go about their business, but they want to bring message of global warming and pollution, and by having people sit in their cars blowing carbon monoxide, burning fossil fuels for hours on end. Traffic has been just absolutely deplorable today. People trying to get in and out of D.C. from Virginia and Maryland, and you know, these people just have no clue. But good news, Interstate the on-ramp to Interstate 395 from New York Avenue is now clear, open for business. The protester in the wheelchair is on the side of the road with Metropolitan Police Department officers. I guess they're waiting for some way to transport the individual. But Sam, I'm telling you, if these people were sent to central booking in the District of Columbia or D.C. City Jail, they would never, ever, ever commit another crime in their lives again.
Well, a lot of these people are brought in from other areas. We've seen this pattern over and over and over, so I'm going to make a prediction. Somebody can research it and drill it down. We don't have the staff and the resources to do so, but I'm telling you, these people are brought in as provocateurs. They get enough local people to make it look legitimate, but the provocateurs have a pattern of doing this. They have expertise on how to make the maximum impact, and you'll find that there's basically disrupt their money behind it all. James O'Keefe and others with the videos have proven this to be the case over and over and over. But the problem is they never dig and it never gets exposed. But you will find that there's big money with an agenda behind this, and it is organized by people who are professional organizers and agitators. This is not just some, you know, random, we care about the environment and local protests like they want you to believe. Scoop.
You're absolutely right. Sean Bergen calls it rent-a-mob. If you go on Craigslist, they have ads all the time for paid activists. And we all know where the money's coming from. It's coming from George Soros, all these other leftist anti-American groups. I wish the Department of Justice would go use RICO statutes against these individuals for disrupting just the American way of life. I mean, again, Sam, we do support these people's right to protest, but not the right to protest in a thoroughfare.
And not the right to agitate and get violent and force their will on people. And okay, they take it to the next level. They're just looking for the excuse to do so. Right now, they're milling around acting peaceful, but they're waiting for a provocateur type incident, and or they'll create one if they think they can do it without getting caught.
Right. Yeah. Let's see what happens in January of 2021 when the current president renews his oath of office. But right now they have a child in the middle, I believe it's Independence Avenue, drawing on chalk with the mother. So good parent right there. Have your child in a protest. Probably should be in school in the middle of a busy street, drawing in the road. So anyway, these are the people that we got to deal with.
Just highlighting how irresponsible this really is. And, you know, standing out there protesting, drawing chalk and drawing attention, it isn't the answer for solutions. Sitting down at a round table and discussing options, no doubt we've been given an earth by Almighty God, and he said take care of it, so we have a responsibility. But when does it become political? When does it become off the rails and they're not even looking for real solutions? And that's kind of what we're facing in this case. Any final notes then? You think they're going to get a handle on this quickly, or do you think it's going to be a problem all day?
We don't know. DC police has not said anything. Again, this is affecting the morning rush hour. We don't know if they're going to do anything with the evening rush hour. You still have people protesting the streets. It's now 9:15 here, local time in Washington, D.C. Rush hour starts from about 5 in the morning until 10 in the morning for a.m. rush hour. P.M. rush hour starts about 2 o'clock in the afternoon until about 8 o'clock at night. So it's the traffic here is absolutely crazy. I have to go my real job later this afternoon, so hopefully everything is smoothed out. But luckily, I'm not going through the District of Columbia. I got to take the long way around.
All right. Well, Godspeed, sir. Thanks so much for the update. Keep us posted.
Yes, sir.
All right. Scoop Stanton doing a phenomenal job, as always, checking in. What do you think of that, Kurt? Liberty Roundtable Live with a reporter in D.C. live telling you what's going on with the morning commute. They're disrupting traffic. They vowed to do so, reported CNN yesterday and over the weekend. They were talking about it, but now Scoop Stanton reports live in D.C. Shut down D.C. Climate change protesters disrupt morning commute. What do you say to that?
Scoop with a scoop.
Indeed. No. You got that right. All right, we got a lot to cover. Speaking of scoop with a scoop, in seconds, Kurt will have the scoop on a lot of stories, too. All right, there's a hotel evacuated. Did you hear about that, Kurt? Hotel evacuated, streets closed.
No.
Fire breaks out near New York's Times Square. Videos, photos, and more. This is the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
All right, back with you live, Sam and Kurt, hard-hitting talk at your fingertips. So we got a big problem going on. Hotel evacuated, streets closed as fire breaks out near New York's Times Square. I guess the hotel had a problem. Big old fire, Kurt, what do you say to that?
Yeah, it looks, it's... I don't know how routine it is, but they got that list. Said it was yesterday, and fire, like you say, close to Times Square. and three people were hurt. 12-story building. Folks had to cruise down the stairs instead of the elevators, you know, that kind of thing. But I don't know. I can't see a whole lot more about it that I can.
Yeah, there's not a lot of reports on it. I'm glad they got the fire put out. I'm glad it didn't fall like Building 7. You know what I'm talking about?
Good point.
And, you know, but when a hotel evacuates and streets close and then fire breaks out near Times Square, that's, you know, pretty big news in my mind. Not as big as Scoop's report, you know, live from D.C. and all that kind of stuff where they're shutting down the whole streets for commute and everything. But it's a pretty big story, nevertheless, in my opinion. All right. Anyway, thought would bring that to your attention. I guess Kurt, 178-year-old British tour company. It's called Thomas Cook. I don't know if you know, but it's collapsed. Company said it had no choice but to liquidate. Did you see this one?
Well, I saw the headline, but you ever heard of Thomas Cook before?
No, but it's a travel company, and the reason it's worthy of reporting right now, not only is it another company failed in the booming economy, but I guess there's a lot of people that had contracts with them, and they're stuck overseas now and can't, you know, stranded.
That's what I read, yeah.
And that's kind of the big problem with this story. We can't just ignore it when people are stranded. Literally, I guess they shut down in the middle of it. Now, I'm not positive why or how they claim they had to shut down and liquidate, but it seems to me that you could at least try to find a way, even with a judge, to, I don't know what to say.
Fulfill
about it,
what you had promised.
At least,
whatever,
you know, kind of wrap up business responsibly a little bit. Now, I don't know for sure, but it seems like, you know, you should be able to do that. Yeah. But there you go. Any other thoughts on this one?
You know, almost makes you think of that whole Bear Stearns thing or whatever. But, I mean, they've been in business a lot of years. What'd you say, 178 years?
Yeah, these guys, 178.
Pretty good track record before this.
You know, British tour company. And, you know, what a sad tale. But again, this is what happens in our society. You know, we think things, Kurt, are kind of too big to fail or been around too long and things can never change. And, you know, you need to remember the world is always changing. And, you know, sadly, in society, I don't know if this is intentional or not, but it seems like they're trying to get us to trust nothing. Everything is becoming unstable. All the old things that you thought were stable and that you could count on and are kind of going away. It's a sad tale to tell for sure. All right, the poll shows that Warren and Biden are gaining, Kurt. And a lot of people are saying now can Warren beat Donald? Do you have an opinion on that?
I just think
I have two answers.
But they want to do a horse race because, you know, the media has got to do that or else, you know, You lose viewers or listeners or whatever, but, I mean, poor old Joe and Warren, I mean, I just don't think they've even got a chance, Sam. I mean,
well, and my response,
I wouldn't be surprised if they get New York and California just because New York and California are pretty much lost, I think.
Yeah.
But all I can say is the Electoral College, you know, you think 305 is what the president got last time, you know, I'd see him close to 400 or so this time.
Yeah, Drudge says Elizabeth Warren is the candidate to watch for the primaries. Jim Cramer says Wall Street execs are panicked about an Elizabeth Warren presidency.
Yeah.
She's got to be stopped, they say. So, you know, those guys are concerned. And I would kind of respond a little different, Kurt. I don't think that she has a chance if we're going to have an honest election.
Good point.
Okay, I'll agree with you completely. But yeah, you know what? If they literally get rid of the Electoral College or somehow disable the Electoral College or change the rules and manipulate it or, you know, you got Google committing vote fraud everywhere to the point where, you know, if they commit a big fraud, you know, she might just win, Kurt. Now, I agree with you.
That's exactly
on a real
right.
honest election. She's not going to win. She doesn't have a chance on this
Good
earth.
Point.
But I'm just a little bit fearful of what they can do in vote fraud now. Google mixed with vote fraud, mixed with illegals, mixed with all things kind of converge or what, you know, have this synergistic effect. And if you put all of it together, I don't know, there's no telling what they can do.
That's a good point.
And that's my fear. And, I don't know if that's what they'll do this time or what. I know this, though. They got egg on their face big time when Trump beat Hillary. They didn't expect that, I don't think. And so as a result, I'm a little bit convinced maybe they won't let that happen again.
Good point.
Okay, so not only is this climate change thing a disaster in D.C. today, as I mentioned, on Friday, thousands of high school students in cities nationwide skipped school to attend what they call global climate strike marches, calling for immediate action to end climate change. They will be part of a global joint protest aimed directly at the adults who they say who are ignoring the destruction of the planet. All right, so this is big, and Trump repeals Obama-era rule on clean water. 3 billion birds are lost since 1970 in North America. Researchers find 29% decline since 1970. Now, as Kurt wisely points out, I don't know how they know that, how they counted the birds or what they do, and you'll find out at some statistical study, but it's kind of like the polling. They've been wrong before, Kurt. Everyone believed that Hillary was going to win, and they didn't know how to deal with it. But Amazon supposedly commits to 100% renewable energy. That's a complete lie. They're going to buy carbon credits and get a special pass for their cash. All right, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos said the company is committed to beat the terms by 10 years. In other words, meet the terms of the climate, the Paris climate, agreement 10 years ahead of schedule. So that's how they're going to beat it, and they're going to meet it, right? 90% of plastic waste, though, folks, comes from Asia and Africa. NBC urges America to confess climate sins. Nolte says American heroes troll NBC's climate confession site. So, the climate's in the news, and they're forcing this agenda. And I submit, and I talked about this in great detail last Friday, and I mentioned it again with Scoop on the line. There is big money. There's a big agenda going on here. This is not some, random people just want to, stand up for the environment. There is an agenda here with paid operatives designed to agitate. All right, we talked about same-sex couples, now called pairs, are reinventing ballroom dancing in your government schools. You don't believe me? Well, they changed the rules. It's the NDCA. It's a big old dance, nationwide organization. Changes the rules. And they're allowing same-sex couples to now be permitted to dance. Lee Wakefield writes the ruling, if you will, or articulates the ruling for the board. I called Lee Wakefield, talked to him. He said he was going to have somebody get a hold of me. Obviously, so far, he has not done so. Gun manufacturing company Colt announced that it is suspending its production of rifles, including AR-15s, to civilians, says the Associated Press. Shame on Colt. We talked about 6 U.S. cities have made a list of the top 50 most surveilled places in the world. And in America, Atlanta, Chicago, Washington, San Francisco, San Diego, and Boston top the list. But 8 of the top 10 cities in that list are in China. So they're taking the lead, but we're trying to gain on it. Atlanta came in 10th overall on the list of the most surveilled cities in the world. It was first place for the most surveilled city in the United States, Atlanta. Man, I don't like that place. All right, Christian Health Group threatens to kick out Mormons for not being Christians. The approach seems a little heavy-handed, writes Joe Kovacs over at WND. Samaritan Ministries, they say, is based on the Bible, while Latter-day Saints historically affirm additional scriptures as authoritative. Anyway, it's a big old battle, Samaritan Ministries, trying to kick out the members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Doesn't sound super Christian, in my opinion. But they kind of believe that the Mormons are infidels because we believe in different scriptures. And, the problem is, if you study their churches, every one of them have kind of a slightly different theological submission. The big push, they say, is about the Trinity. Mormons believe God the Father and Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost are three separate beings. The Samaritan Ministries believes in the Trinity. Over that is the battle. Well, the Nicene Creed was over that battle 400 years after Christ was murdered on the cross. The debate, sadly, rages on.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Friday was the big day for them, but climate change protests are continuing, including in Washington, D.C., where today protesters are snarling traffic at the crossing of 14th and C Streets. The protesters saying they're hoping to bring traffic to a halt across the nation's capital today. There are protests, including concerning climate change in New York City as well, as today begins the 74th United Nations General Assembly. President Trump is going to be skipping a climate action summit that's being held to instead lead a session to address anti-Semitism and all forms of religious persecution. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who've agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-460-1663. That's 1-800-460-1663. Again, 1-800-460-1663.
Federal investigators say it could be some time before they determine the cause of a bus crash in Utah on Friday that left 4 Chinese tourists dead and over 24 other people on board the bus injured.
Our process is thorough but lengthy, and we expect to complete this investigation in about 12 to 24 months.
That's Pete Katowski of the NTSB. Witnesses say the driver apparently swerved and overcorrected, sending the bus rolling over into a guardrail. Planned Parenthood, a number of states, and health groups heading to court today, hoping to block a new Trump administration abortion rule issued by the Department of Health and Human Services. It took effect earlier this year and prevents federally funded family planning providers from referring women for abortions. The British travel group Thomas Cook, founded back in 1841, has abruptly shut down after failing to get a financial aid package from lenders, stranding over 600,000 customers around the world. This is USA Radio News.
I want to dedicate this song to Mr. Rupert Murdoch.
All right, Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. Let's see. I want to mention the LNR, anytime, anywhere, listen line. Liberty News Radio. You can listen to the radio live. Turn any phone into a radio. And the reason I bring it up right now is there's an updated phone number, and it's not on our websites yet, but we're trying to get that change done. Got our webmasters working on it. But I wanted to pass out the number. The best number to use is 641-741-2540. All right, 641-741-2540. So we'd bring that up. All right, government schools, Kurt, the most racist institution of all. I guess Art Robinson, PhD,
talks real about quick. Those, right? Can you give me that number one more time just to make sure I get it right? Because I had a different number that I was using.
641. 741-2540. All right, public schools, the most racist institutions of all. Art Robinson, PhD, Kurt.
Well, I thought it was a pretty good story, Sam, because you just don't see this much. you know, much talk about it. But Art, you know, I think he's got his facts pretty well done. You know, he says he explains how we could provide a real education for all. He's a PhD, so he's, you know, typically the PhDs are, well, kind of guys who, they promote this whole government school kind of thing, and yet he's a real smart guy that seems to be like, it's not the way it should be. You know, in fact, he's saying it's government schools are the most racist of institutions there are. I find it, well, I was going to say refreshing, but not really. I mean, I'd prefer it to not be the case, but, you know, it's a world that daily peace.
Well, let's break it down a little bit. It's not refreshing that they're racist. It's refreshing that somebody's willing to call a spade for a change. And it's refreshing that we might actually, you know, the first way to solve the problem is to acknowledge it, right? Then to take action to correct
identify it.
And so, you know, I think that it's refreshing that he's identifying the problem, because that's the way it's going to get hopefully resolved, Kurt.
Yep. Yeah, he says, my wife, Laura Lee, died when our six children were 12, 10, 8, 6, 6, and 1 years old. I guess they had a set of twins there. Today, one has a doctorate in chemistry, two have doctorates in nuclear engineering, two have doctorates in veterinary medicine, and one has a master's degree in nuclear engineering. Well, it's almost, you know, that old phrase where they say it's not rocket science, but in this case, kind of is for them. In college, he says five earned BS degrees in chemistry. A lot of people have BS degrees, but anyway, one earned a BS in mathematics. Three of the six went through college in only 2 years. Sounds like your plan, right, Sam? By passing advanced placement exams that allowed them to enter college at a third year level. He says, when my wife died, I continued their homeschooling. There he is once again, that kind of crazy stuff. And he says, which she began. Together, the children and I developed a homeschool curriculum. The curriculum has now been used by more than 100,000 homeschool and he says public school students as a complete curriculum by the homeschoolers and as a supplement by the public schoolers. He says, I have 30 years of experience in K-12 education. I also taught college and graduate students at the University of California, San Diego, and Stanford. I think he's, you know, pretty well equipped for this. And he says, yes, yet I am not writing this to advertise curricula. I'm speaking out as an educator, almost sounds like John Taylor Gatto. He says, one who deplores the well-financed public school system that pretends to educate our students, but instead shortchanges the students and turns many of them into permanent second-class citizens. Let me make a controversial but true statement, he says. The public schools are by far the most racist institution in our nation. Now, you probably
Well, and by the way, Kurt, that's how you get such a racist nation, is you use the indoctrination of the racist institution to generate racist, you know, outcomes. So, you know, if you want to look at why we become such a racist nation, it's primarily because of the government school indoctrination camps. All right, let him explain further, but I can add to this because he's absolutely right.
He goes on to say, an example of this are the public schools in Washington, D.C., the only schools that are constitutionally under the control of the U.S. Congress. These schools have 50,000 students, 67% of whom are black. Of these students who manage to graduate from a D.C. high school, he puts in parentheses, many drop out. The majority cannot even read effectively and have almost no math skills. As a result of their very poor educations, most of these students are condemned for life to second-class citizenship, poor-paying work if they can find it, and reliance upon public welfare, which is just fine with the leftist politicians who ruin their educations. The more people on welfare, the more votes the socialists can get. He goes on, he says, let us, however, consider Portland, Oregon. School taxes are generous and a little higher than the national average. These taxes are paid by everyone, even a citizen whose low income excuses him from direct taxation pays high taxes. He pays the school taxes of the farmers, truck drivers, and grocery store owners with whom he buys food. He pays the school taxes of the oil industry and fuel distribution businesses from whom he buys fuel. He pays the school taxes of everyone whom he pays for goods and services. The total school taxes in Portland, Oregon amount to $400,000 per 9 months per 30-student classroom. Only about one-third of this money actually reaches
the students. $400,000 per 30 students?
Right, per 30 students, yes.
All right, so how much is that a student there, Kurt?
Well, you go 400,000. This is the way old math works, you know. 400,000 divided by 30.
$13,300.
$13,000, that's right, $330,000.
That's a year, mind you. So there you go.
Right. That's right. He says, the other two-thirds is spent outside the classrooms by special interests, highly paid non-teaching bureaucrats, and others who have attached themselves to the school system. Consider this, he says, if Portland were to pay $130,000 per 9 months of work to every full-time teacher in wages and in benefits, more than they receive today, he says, and $20,000 for a room in which to teach more lavish per square foot than most high-end homes for 9 months and not pay any money to anyone who does not teach a full load of classes, there would be $250,000 per 9 months per classroom left over. Over 12 years, this would save $3 million per classroom.
All right, read that again.
The $3 million. All right, so he's saying...
Hold on. The reason I want you to read it again is I want people really to let this sink in for a second.
Right. If Portland were to pay $130,000 per 9 months of work to every full-time teacher in wages and in benefits, and he puts in parentheses, more than they receive today, and $20,000 for a room in which to teach, and he says that's more lavish per square foot than most high-end homes for 9 months, and not pay any money to anyone who does not teach a full load of classes, there would be $250,000 per 9 months per classroom left over. Over 12 years, this would save $3 million per classroom. Then he says, this $3 million over 12 years is enough extra money to provide every graduating K-12 student, and he puts in parentheses, assuming all graduate and none drop out, with a $100,000 scholarship for college. The students could keep the classrooms clean, and for this raise in pay, the teachers would happily handle the administration expenses. My uncle Carl Robinson was a school teacher in the once excellent K-12 schools of Iowa. When he resumed teaching after serving in World War II, he taught a full load of classes and was paid a little extra to be superintendent of the county schools. Those Iowa farmers were not paying educators who did not teach.
Well,
what is more valuable?
The point is that the bloat at the top is problematic for sure. The indoctrination is problematic for sure. But, Kurt, yes. I also question a system where we say this. Kids will never make it if they don't get into Head Start, buddy. You got to start them when they're like 2 and 3 and 4 years old. And then, hey, after that, they got to go to school for like kindergarten. And then K through 12, what's that, 13 years. Then they got to go to college for 4 years. 2 years of that is called general ed. If they don't have their general ed done K through 12, 13 years, but they got to get it now. I mean, you're talking about 17 years now for a bachelor's degree. And then they got to get more education, right? Hold on.
Good point.
Kosher. Certified. Put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the sh sound, as in all those American food producers saying sh a Let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this. The Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities. And it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC. Not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
All right, so back with you live. We're talking about this incredible article. And we're talking about this reality. Public schools, the most racist institution of all, writes Art Robinson, PhD. He explains how we can provide a real education for all. And he says, hey, we shouldn't have anybody in the education system that's not willing to take a full load of classes. You can give them a little second hat job if you want to help with some administrative duties and pay them a little extra to do so. But then you wouldn't have these bloated people at the top that just become these tenured educators that take a ton of cash off the table. You could also have much simpler schools. You don't need these big fancy buildings. And okay, but he's all correct on every bit of this. But I add to that and say, so look, you got to do Head Start or preschool for a year or two. You got to go ahead and do K through 12. That's 13 years plus the preschool of, you know, that's 15 years. And now you got to go right after 15 years now, Kurt. What you got to do is you do your general education. It's like, wait a minute. Didn't I just do 15 years of general education for crying out loud? Oh, no. You got to do your generals. Got to get those out of the way so you can, like, do what you want to do. You know what I mean? So now you're 17 years in. And you're going to decide what you're going to do. You're not ready to do what you're going to do yet. You're 17 years in. You got your generals finally done. Now you're going to think about doing what you're going to do, right? Okay, so how long is that? Then 2 more years? So that's 19 years? And then you got a bachelor's, but man, you really need a master's, don't you? And a master's usually like take an extra year. Now it's an extra 2 years or so. So, you know, you're 21 years into school. And what happens is every year you take 3 months off. Okay, so not only are the buildings wasted for 3 months, not being used properly and everything else, but you forget a lot of what you learn, and you got to spend the next, when you get back every year, kind of a 2, 3, 4 weeks getting caught up to where you were to remind and kind of back review and all this. Okay, and when you figure that out, 4 months a year, kind of off over the 19 or the 17 or the 21, it depends on what numbers you want to use for years, right? Oh, my kids didn't go to preschool and my kids didn't go to kindergarten. You're still at 12 years plus 4 years by the time you have a bachelor's, 16 years and you're barely ready to do something? I mean, it's insanity. Okay, well, that 3 months every year plus the month it takes to get caught up to speed, 4 months every year times that 16 years, how long is that, Kurt? It's over 5 years of wasted time. Okay, and so we've got a broken system, folks. The prison systems are broken, but the education systems are broken too. And this guy breaks it out, in my opinion, like nobody's business, doing a phenomenal job highlighting this reality. But the reason I bring this up, Kurt, I can't solve it all by 3 o'clock, but one of the ways I solve it was we have our kids graduate from high school in 3 years, not four. And what it means is they got to study during the summer and they got to take a couple extra classes so that in 3 summers of high school, then you can get a third of the year done each summer, if you will, and then there's your fourth year. And at first, when we started doing this, they said, man, you guys really don't want to do that, even in this private school that should know better. And I'm not down on the school. I'm just making a point of how indoctrinated we are. Okay? They said, you know, Sam, you really shouldn't do that. And they even tried to kind of pit the parents against the kid. You know, you might want that, father, mother, but does your kid want that? You know, they're growing up too fast, Sam. They might not be ready. It's too much of a load. They had all kinds of excuses under the sun. And I just looked right at the administrator and said, I don't care if my kid wants to do it or not. I can't even afford to keep him in the school as it is at my own expense. This is the way we're doing it. If I've got 8 children and I save a year per kid, you're talking about a lot of money saved. But my kids do want to do it. And every kid that's done it, by the way, graduated in 3 years instead of 4, they kind of whine a little bit when they're in the middle of it because it's hard, Kurt. It is hard. It takes work, buddy. But every single one of them, when they get done, are absolutely glad they did it. And I ask, I say, would you rather be in school now for another year? Oh, no. Oh, no, Dad. And so they change their tune. But what they learn is they can do hard things. And so the first kid, they kind of said that to us. The second kid, they said that to us. The third kid, they said, well, we think you're kind of crazy, but we get that you guys are capable of this. By the fifth kid now, we've already had 5 kids do this, Kurt. So I've already saved 1 year times 5. Right? Okay, and I'm telling you, they don't say that to us anymore. They just say, oh, you guys want to do the Bushman plan? Yes, we do. Okay, well, here's what it's going to take. Here's what, and we just go through it. And they don't try to talk us out of it anymore. But they didn't mean harm. They didn't try to down us. They just felt like it probably wasn't possible. It's putting too much pressure on the kids. And I'm talking about only taking 1 year out of the 13 years. If you do kindergarten through, you know, K through 12, 13 years. I only took 1 year out of those 13 years. And they about had a conniption fit. I mean, they literally melted down. Are you sure this is okay to do? And I'm thinking, are you kidding me right now? Are you really kidding me right now? And so what they've done is they've taken this school system, instead of it being what it was designed for, Kurt, giving you the basics, reading, writing, arithmetic, history, science, the solid basics, they've really got breaks between every class to go to another class. They've got, you know, extracurricular activities and sports. They've got lunch breaks. They've got this. They've got that. And a lot of the things that they do I find valuable. I find good, but not necessary. And at what expense and how many years do you have to go through to get all that done? And I've got a problem with an education system that literally takes preschool, 2 years, K through 12, 13 years, that's 15. And if you get, say, a bachelor's degree, you're literally at how much time? K through 12 is 13, preschool is 15. The 4-year bachelor's degree, you're at 19 years of school. I've got people that I know that have been in that scenario, or if they get beyond that, you know, they're talking about 20 years of school, if they're at a master's level at least, or 21, and some of them don't even have jobs, Kurt, at the end of it. And I look at a system like that and say, isn't there a way to literally give somebody maybe, Kurt, let's say 4 or 5 years, just say 5 years of solid education. Let's say you start when they're 8 and you end when they're about 13. And you say you're going to get a 5-year year-round. You might get a couple of breaks for Christmas. Hey, we'll take a week off for Christmas. We'll take a week off opposite of Christmas in July or something like that. You know, we'll quarterly take a little bit of time off so that you can get a breather and everything. There's nothing wrong with a break here or there. Everybody needs a little downtime, a little sabbatical. I get it. But and you could go to school year-round for 5 years from the time you're 8 till the time you're 13. And you would literally get a solid enough education that I believe could take place of this 13-year K through 12 that we got going on here. 5 years. You wouldn't waste time when they're really teeny babysitting and having them color. Mom can do that at home. You wouldn't really teach them to read because mom and dad can do that at home. You wouldn't teach them to do basic math skills because, you know, plus and minus and add and subtract. You know, kids learn that with blocks and very simple, simple things. Okay, they would come at 8 years old ready to learn, ready for a serious effort in education. And in 5 years, I am convinced, rather than 13 years, they could be prepared. And then at 13, you say, you're going to spend another year now figuring out what you want to do. And then you can go into some higher education of some kind. It might be a 2-year, maybe a 4-year, but at the most, a 2-year to a 4-year, a training on what you're going to do. And in that case, Kurt, you would take 5 years for everybody and then 2 to 4 years. So 7 or 9 years in school is all you'd have. But I'm convinced you could be further along educationally. You could organize it in a way where the debt would go down substantially. And people would be actually ready to work in the real world, Kurt. And a lot of those 2 to 4 year things that I'm talking about, teenagers would basically do for free as interns for business. And they would learn on the job real live skills. And they would work for free. Why? Well, because it would be like an apprenticeship. And you would learn to become a master in your trade or your experience or your skill. And it would be a trade. I'm going to take the extra time that it takes to teach you. And you're going to work for me for not for free, but a fair trade. And after those 2 years, then, you know what? If you're a good enough worker and we like you, you know, then you can get hired into the workforce. Or you can at least get a certificate or a resume entry, whatever you want to call it, where you can move on. And there are ways to do this, and this PhD is highlighting this reality. The reason I insert myself so much in this, Kurt, I don't mean to take over the discussion, but I do want to highlight this is being done by educators all across the country. You don't hear about it much, but the world of education is changing, and guys like me are at the forefront of it. You could say it's no big deal, but when I have 8 kids graduate in 3 years instead of 4 years from high school, it's a pretty good experiment for a single guy to conduct. And then to bring it to the radio, it's kind of a think tank here. There's something valuable there, and we're proving it, Kurt, day by day, pupil by pupil, if you will. Any thoughts?
Well, yeah, Sam, but you've got most of them covered. I was just going to say in this Artmore piece, or is it Artmore? Anyway,
no, sir. It's Artmore is the normal author from WND.
Sorry,
that we
Art know. Robinson.
Yeah, this guy's
Art
a Robinson. PhD. You know?
PhD, you know, whose wife had died when his children were very young. You know, and he's got all these qualifications and things, and yet, you know, he even tells about his own curriculum and stuff, and he says, I'm not really writing to, you know, advertise my curriculum, but, you know, then he tells about Portland, Oregon, you know, and how much money they charge per student for all their taxes and that kind of stuff. And then he tells about his uncle teaching in Iowa and how it was back then. And then he says, you know, moreover, there is another matter, quality of the schools. Non-teaching people are just in the way. They don't take their pay and go on vacation. They stay in the school system making rules and regulations and getting in the way of teachers, thereby making it more difficult to teach. He says, why do I say this is racist? Black students have a much more difficult time living a joyful and prosperous life because their poorer education provides fewer opportunities. To be sure, many do succeed regardless of adversity, but the percentage succeeding is much lower than for other races. Black students have far lower SAT, college admission test scores, than other races because they have much poorer schools. The state and national education systems run for the benefit of school unions, and the vast mob of non-teachers preferentially fails in the education of black students. SAT college admission average test scores in our nation are black 946, Hispanic 990, white 1123, and Asian 1223. Yet the genetically determined mental ability of these four races is essentially identical. Asians especially excel because the discipline and education ethic in their culture is
very
strong.
Now, let me say that again, and this is what we ought to have in our culture, too. Maybe not as extreme, but we ought to have that, and year-round school would be a starting point for that. You know, there's nothing wrong in life. Everything is year-round. You don't just take off 3 months in life, not anywhere that I've ever been. They do that every year for all 13 years. All right, keep going, Kurt.
Yeah, then he says the schools have total control of these students during the best hours of every day. They control their discipline and educational habits. If the schools were good, the students would not depend on the culture and opportunities at home to learn. Anyway, he says he spent more than 50 years of his life in education And he's got some pretty good points.
By the way, I want to hold this article over to the next hour, and I want to delve into that. We'll talk about the valedictorian and another article, etc. We'll have Scott Bradley. He's a well-known educator, too, to join us. He's got a, well, he's a doctor himself, Kurt. So we'll have Dr. Scott Bradley with us. We'll recap and break this down and drill into it more because this topic is vital. And we're changing the game every day with good, innovative folks doing a wonderful job. And you're hearing about it on Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam and Kurt, we declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic.